we often think of the redemptive value of the blood of Christ and the atoning work of the blood of Christ. But I believe here, I'm not sure, but this may be the one verse that we're studying here that shows the peace of the blood. So when the Lord shed his blood on Calvary's cross, it provided peace as well. Beautiful thought.
And you know, when we think of what Brother Brian was mentioning a few minutes ago about this manner of the effect of this peace, not only horizontally, not only vertically, but horizontally as well. And in the passage that's one of the passages where the thought of peace preached in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to just emphasize this very thought, that one of the effects of the work of Christ, one of the outflowing realities is that he has created out of the two, he has created the one. And when we don't realize the oneness of that body that he has created, we're actually putting to no effect the work that he has accomplished and this peace. And so when there's enmity between me and another brother, and I'm not able to reconcile with him, and I'm not able to make things right by the power of the Spirit of God, or I refuse to, then really what I'm doing is I'm denying this truth that is laid out here in the book of Ephesians. And it's a tremendous truth of God's word. And I just want to emphasize, I want to start in verse 14, where he's mentioning this, and he's already alluded to it in the chapter. But then in verse 14, he says, "For he himself is our peace." This is Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And then it goes on to say, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And then this is our verse that's on the sheet. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For by him we both have access. There's that second mention of the word access. It's mentioned again down in chapter 3, verse 12. And he says we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And I just want to emphasize this truth that Brother Brian was mentioning about this harmony. It's not only a matter of harmony vertically with God that he has brought us into, but he has established peace this way as well. And every time we refuse to be at peace with our brethren, we're essentially saying, I don't want what God has established. And this is a very serious thing for us. And that's why he says, in taking another verse, he says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, because they're entering into the good of what Christ has established and what Christ has accomplished.
Yes, I believe.
Go ahead, Brother Chick.
And the both, which speaks of here, he has made of the two one. Pardon?
Jew and Gentile.
That's right. That's the point I wanted to make. And they, he says, and he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. That was the Gentile. And to them which were nigh. That was the Jew. The Jew was in a close relationship with God, outwardly, through the law and so on. God set them apart. It was God's work to set them apart from all the nations of the world. And there's a very many privileges that they had, and so on, which we Gentiles did not receive. But now, the same message goes to one as the other. He's included both under sin. We had that in Romans. And so we find now that repeatedly this thought here, even in the beginning, and you, in verse 1 of chapter 2, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the world, of the, and so on. He goes on to describe this. And when he speaks of it there, he's speaking to you Gentiles. This is where they walked. We all were there in that condition. And so just that brings out the great fact of it. Here are two complete different cultures. Mm-hmm. Now the Jews, they had, were right in what God had given them. Now how can now God undo that, as it were? He's broken down the middle wall of partition. Mm-hmm. That is, that by the works of the law, man could not be justified. And so he declares them, first of all under sin. We've had that before us. And brings all, reconciles the two together into one new man. So here we have a great truth. There is in this world, as God reckons, there are Jews, there are Gentiles, and there is the Church of God. So these three different companies are addressed. Corinthians has the same thing. Give none offense to one or the other. And so I think here's a lesson for us, a practical lesson. Cultures, nationalities, skin color, whatever else difference there may be that I might insist on. And if there's something I insist on that does not support or further advance this great truth that we are one, then we are in opposition with what God is doing.
Amen.
And how we need to remember that.
Yeah, this is a powerful statement of Paul in verse 16. Reconcile both unto God, both. And we saw that reconciliation is really a change of state or position.
Yeah.
You know, it said, Peter says, Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Well, he has brought me to God, but he also brought this other weird guy to God, too, right? So you know, I'm reconciled with him, not just reconciled with God. See, so these divisions that we see in the world, you know, between group and group and group, ought not to be ever seen amongst the Christians. We're here specifically Jew and Gentile. Now, there's a change of position for them. Far off, near, now both one, okay? But we can extrapolate that out to all the different groups, nationalities, or whatever, cultures in the world. We are now one. It's something new. Didn't exist before. It's just one new man. And so, in our practical ways and habits, of all people, again, I say on the face of the earth, the believer ought to show this forth in our relationships with one another, that the world can see something. Oh, you guys aren't fighting. No, we love one another. We're one. We didn't do it. God did it. And we're together.
It doesn't deny the reality of the differences. It doesn't deny the reality of the differences, but it brings in a higher truth. And I think that's the point. In the book of Galatians, he mentions that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, slave or free. And so he says, yes, there's differences, but in Christ, we're one. And so just reality is, he doesn't deny the differences, but he says there's a higher truth to be grasped.
And I think the point there is bringing them into one body. The idea is this. It is not an idea of we have two different groups and let's pick what's good in this group and what's good in this group, compromise them, put them together to make a new group, and trying to bring harmony this way. That's not what God have done. It is not that the Jews have something good and the heathen have something good or something bad and they just create something new. What he did was totally, as we have heard, it's a new man. It's one body. Now, when the idea of the new body is this, or the body idea, how the body function, my heart just works. It just does work. And it functioned with every other member, just that's the way it functioned. My hand doesn't tell when it got my foot hit with something, or tell my mouth scream because you got hit. My mouth just screamed. This is just that whole thing is automatically kind of connected together. And sometimes we're trying to force things and we do things. The point that we just made about the idea that God doesn't abolish individuality. Every cell in my body is different. They're not all the same, but they all work together. It is just a matter of harmonious work. And if they don't, there's a problem. I will have a problem. But the whole idea is this. If I'm linked back with the head, I know this is not our subject, but the idea is this. If we are linked with the head, then everything will just flow very good, very nicely. It's not a matter of getting two groups together and trying to kind of just fix them up and make something. That's not it is. And today, when we are conscious of that, reconciliation is not making things right only. Reconciliation is making things right according to God. And that's what we need to think. When I wanted to have harmony with my brethren, I don't want them to have harmony according to me. Because I think if they do things my way, I think that would be wonderful. And you think the same way too. But it's really harmony according to God. And that's what happened here. It's the Jews and the Gentiles, the extreme opposite, brought together into one body so they could function right, without any kind of artificial anything. And also, it is a new man. It's something out of God. And it could not be done unless we hold fast ahead.